This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala Rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa taba huda. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the fiqh class. Today, inshallah, we will talk about the forbidden transactions. We already mentioned al-riba, and we mentioned the two types of riba. Now, we are mentioning what is attached to riba, and what is also forbidden as principle. Like we said, in general, the financial transactions are permissible, unless it is mentioned that it is haram. Now we have one type, is called bay' al-'ina, al-'ina, or the selling of 'ina. This is one type of selling. What's the definition of it, or what's the nature of it? How it happens? This is how it happens. You go and you purchase a commodity, merchandise, car, article of property. I need money. I go to one of the brothers who have, mashallah, money. I go to them, but they don't give me cash. They say, we will sell you a property, article of property. We will sell you this car and you will pay us later. How much is this car? $30,000. So now you purchase the car, you paid nothing, but there is $30,000 to be paid. Then you resell the car to them, to him, and they will pay you cash, $25,000. So what happened? You got $25,000 cash. How much you will pay it? How much you will pay it? $30,000. This is what we call bay' al-'ina. You see what happened? To purchase an article of property with the later payment and to resell it again and to get the money cash to the same seller. That's the condition, to the same seller. You got it? Not yet? You got it? You know what is it? How it happens? Not yet? Okay. You need money, but you don't have cash. You go and you purchase a car, and you tell them, look, I don't have the money. They tell you, okay, you'll pay us later. Then you tell them, I will resell it to you. The car that you purchased, you will resell it to them. They say, okay, we'll purchase it from you with $2,000 deficit. So now, you owe them $30,000 and they gave you $28,000 cash. You left with $20,000, but you owe how much? $30,000. You got it now? Okay. Is this permissible or not permissible?
No, it's not permissible. How much is the period? How much is the period time between the buying and selling?
Immediate. Immediate.
Yeah, it's
Rimza. Of course, now you owe them $30,000, and the car with them. You ended up with what? With cash. With cash.
It's playing games.
Playing games.
Yeah. It's instead of you trying to fool Allah.
You're trying to fool Allah by
involving a commodity and buying.
So you say it is riba. It is like you got $28,000 cash,
and you owe
$30,000. That's the bay' al-'ina. In the Shafi'i school of thought, this is permissible. Bay' al-'ina is permissible in the Shafi'i school of thought. The majority of scholars said it is haram, it is riba. Now, why it is allowed? Let's take the Shafi'i school of thought first. Why it is allowed? We said in principle, are the transactions allowed or prohibited?
Allowed.
Allowed. That's first. Second, we have an evidence from the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Remember the hadith about dates? Do not sell 2 pounds for 1 pound. Sell first the 2 pounds, get the money, and then purchase the 1 pound. They say that's the same. They say it is the same. Okay. What? Other scholars, they said there is an authentic hadith from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, narrated by Abu Dawood and others. إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالدُّونَ وَاتَّبَعْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ صَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ لَيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. When you start transacting with عِينَ, you start selling and purchasing عِينَ this way, and you leave jihad, you abandon jihad, and you follow your worldly desires, you follow the others, what will happen? Allah will humiliate you with a humiliation that will not be taken over, removed from you until the day of judgment. This hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud. Many scholars authenticated this hadith. Shafi'is say it is not authentic. This hadith is not authentic, so we remain on the original ruling, which is halal. What I want from you to know what the Shafi'i say and their evidence, whether you agree or you disagree. Now, personally, I believe it is haram. Because as Hashim said, as Ibn Abbas said, it is a loan. It is loan in interest, but something came in between. Nothing changed the reality. It is a loan with interest. That's it. It is riba. And that's why some banks, so-called Islamic banks or Islamic companies, here we don't have this issue. They don't blame guests. They tell you, you take loan, you give us back loan with interest. There, what they are trying to do, they do that. You come to them, you have the car, they tell you, you say, I want money. Because that's what you want. You need money. You need money. You end up getting money, but you owe more. So they tell you, okay, purchase this car, and we will purchase it from you. So they give you the cash. You leave with cash, but you owe how much? More. Then another person comes the same day, and they sell him the same car. So the car is sold 40 times a day, or 100 times a month. It is the same car. It was not changed. Now, does that make sense? This is games, right? But the Shafi'i still say there is no solid evidence. It is haram. The original ruling, it is halal, so we abide by it, and it is similar to the hadith of dates. Scholars talk about famous issue which is called tawarruq. Tawarruq means the need of cash. You need cash money. So they say there is a solution for that. You go to a place, you purchase the car, and you promise them to pay later payments. Then you go to another place and you sell the car. Can you do that or you can't? Okay. Of course you can. So this is permissible, but not this one.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with the second one.
You know, yeah, even the second one, some scholars forbade it. Some scholars, Ibn Taymiyyah. But many of them said it is halal. But the first one, do you believe it is acceptable?
No, I don't.
It's a game.
It's a game, right?
It's a game, and it's like the Jew. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, they don't have them Saturday, then they put their name to Friday, they took it Sunday.
Yeah.
You play a game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What I think about when you mention is the man who divorces his wife 3 times.
Okay.
And then asks someone, look,
you
marry my wife. And
so you compare it to what we call the borrowed mule. Because you borrow a mule, and then you tell him, that's it. What do you think? You still believe the Shafi'is are correct?
It depends on the situation.
Depends, as I told you. Now again, there are many stories. Wallahi, you hear the banks, what they do. One time, I'll tell you one story, because, I mean, we have lots of types of transactions we want to go through. One time, the man went to the bank, because usually this is what happens. It's on papers only. He goes to the bank and he tells them, I need money. I need money. I mean, that's... So they tell you, we don't deal with riba, but that's what we do. We will give you the transaction. You write down that you purchased this merchandise, and you write down also that you sold it. Everything is done on papers only. Now, to make it halal, you go and you tell them, I need possession over this article of property, this merchandise, and I will sell it by myself. Now, they told you no, that means they are playing games. But if they told you yes, that means it is really halal. They are seeking the halal. So One time, a man told them, I want to pay, to take possession and I will resell it again. They told him, fine, okay, write on the paper, because in the contract there is a space where it says you choose to own the merchandise and sell it by yourself. He said, yes, on that item. So they told him, okay, it is there in that place, and you go and you take it, and it's up to you. In the night, the amount that he agreed to take, it was already deposited in his bank. Next day he came, he said, what happened? You deposited the money while I chose to sell the property, and I did not sell anything yet, so I will go and resell it and get more money. It happened automatically. They said, you know, thousands of people came and no one chose to sell the merchandise himself. You're the first one. That's what happened. Now we will suspend the deposit. We will take it back and you go and you sell the property, the merchandise. He went and he wanted to sell it. He found out that it's worth half the price. Half the price. So he wished if he did not do it. But if he did not do it, it becomes riba, according to the majority of scholars. According to the Shafi'is, it's not. That's what's happening. Again, the car itself is there, but 20 people came the same day and they purchased the same car and they sold the same car. What do you think? Still?
That's why
I have an argument. Yes. إذا تبعتم بالعينة وتركتم الجهاد واتبعتم أذناب البقر صلت الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزعه إلى يوم القيامة. In English, after the class. No questions now. Of course, Allah is mentioning here that this is what will happen if you do this. If you do this, Allah will humiliate you until the day of judgment. So that means you cannot abandon jihad. Once you abandon jihad, you will be humiliated. Is humiliation something good from Allah or something bad? That means when you do ina, that's what will happen. Even the Shafi'is, they agreed on it. They say that's not the ina. The ina is something else. Or they say it is not authentic hadith. Okay. Now we mentioned that in principle, all transactions are halal. In principle. The first principle that makes the transaction haram is riba. Riba. So how many major things that will make the transaction haram? We have two major things, or three, according to some scholars. Two. One of them is riba, and that's what we mentioned. And the second one is deception. Gharar. Deception. Or if you say three, it will be deception and gambling. Maisir. Maisir, some scholars separate it. Some scholars add it. So it is three or two. I chose to include it, so it is two. So we have usury, riba, and we have deception, which involves maisir, qimar. Now again, I am telling you these are the major principles. That means there are some types of selling that are forbidden, but because something happened to the transaction itself, something wrong with the transaction itself, like, can you sell something you don't own? No. Maybe it's not included in those two things. There is no riba here. You are selling something without riba, but you don't have it. The Prophet ﷺ forbade it separately. Can you sell the dead animal? No, the Prophet ﷺ forbade it. It's not usury. Selling a dead animal is not usury. And it's not deception. I want it. I want this dead snake. I like to have it. No, it is haram. So, but the major principles, like most of the transactions that are forbidden, they go back to one of those two things. Usury or deception. We talked about usury. We said it is riba al-fadl, riba al-nasi'ah. Now we will talk about deception. What do we mean by deception? What constitutes deception? In financial transactions, when you understand the definition, then you will know what is forbidden and what is allowed. Deception involves any type of transactions that has cheating or deceiving. It is forbidden if there is cheating. Or you are deceiving. But again, what do we mean by that? What do we mean by deception? Any transaction that you don't know whether you will gain or lose. You may gain and you may what? Lose. That's the deception in selling. Let's give you an example to clarify it. You paid $10. They tell you this is a lottery. You pay $10. Whether you will get $1 million or you will get nothing. Now, what are the possibilities here? What are your options? Whether you will gain or you will lose. This is deception. That's forbidden. Okay. Let's say you purchased 10 t-shirts. Each one for $5. That's $50. You wanted to sell them for $8. $80. But something wrong happened and you sold them for $4. So you lost $10. You lost 20%. Isn't it the same here, whether you gain or you will lose?
No, if you put a sign on them, this is a discount defective merchandise, then it's the choice of the buyer.
No. It happened not because of something you did, but it happened. Isn't all the transactions involve gain or lose?
Yes.
No. According to this definition. Why? Even if you lost, didn't you get the merchandise? So you got something. The risk here is ignored. Because yes, we could say there is risk always. But that risk is not like when you gain or lose. Here, you are gaining something anyway, which is your merchandise. You took the merchandise, you have it. But here, you will have nothing. Whether you will have everything or you will have what? Nothing. So there is a difference in transactions. That's very important when you define what is deception, so you'll understand what is forbidden and what is permitted. What are the types of selling that are prohibited because of this major principle, because of deception? The Prophet ﷺ mentioned many examples, and we'll mention a few of them because a lot. And every day you could find many examples. Bay al-hasat, or the stone selling. What do we mean by that? Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an bay al-hasa. Hasa means a stone. You go to real estate agent. They have the property. 10 acres. You have 10 acres. And they tell you, pay $20,000. You pay $20,000 for a piece of land. How big? They give you stone. They tell you through that stone, and as far as it goes, this will be your property. So your hand may be paralyzed and you cannot throw it, or you may have machine gun or whatever and you throw it all the way at the end. What is this? Is this permitted? Is this permitted? It is deception here. Because you may get 20 acres and you may get nothing. This is deception. نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الحصى ونهى عن الملامسة. Of course, it has to be specific. ملامسة means touching. We don't describe what we will sell you, but you can touch it. If you like it, that's it. That means maybe underneath there are many defects. You touched it. Is this permissible? No. The Prophet ﷺ forbade it. أن يقوم لمسك مقام نظرك. That's what they say. Just like you are blind and you touch, by touch. We sell you by touch. Only you touch it and you own it. This is also forbidden. Questions later? Write it down. Future selling. Also, it involves deception. Like what? Selling fruits before its ripeness. You go to California, to one of the big farms, 50 acres. 50 acres, how much approximately of apple trees? How much approximately it will give you? If you say 50 acres, that's like 2 tons of apple. That's what you estimate. But now, all what you have is what? Apple trees. There is no apple fruit. It is still winter. So you tell the owner, this is $30,000 for the fruits. The harvest day comes, and instead of getting 2 tons, you got 5 tons. Or, instead of getting 2 tons, you got 20 kilograms only. There was a severe weather, or heat, just like now. They talked about it. It's extreme heat, so they lost lots of their fruits. Is this allowed? No, it is haram. If you come and you pay $20,000 for 20 kilograms, that's fine. For 200 kilograms, that's fine. But to tell him whatever comes, you don't know whatever comes. Maybe this will come and maybe nothing will come. Is this permissible? No. Or selling what's in the womb of the cow. The cow is carrying, but you don't know. Is it a calf? Is it 2 or 1? Whatever there. Is it dead? Can you sell that? No, there is deception here. You may get nothing. Maybe the cow itself is killed, or she died. The cow died and whatever in it died also. You got nothing. Or you got more than what you expect too. That changes the story. When you say, I will purchase the cow. So you purchase the cow, but you don't know what's coming. Maybe nothing will come.
Why they mention just cow?
What's the description of that cow? Cow is female, right? Maybe it delivered the male, bull, instead of cow. So you did not purchase a cow, you purchased bull. Can you leave the questions later on? Write down your questions. Is this clear? Future selling with ignorance of what will come, you don't know, this is forbidden.
No guessing. No guessing.
Yeah, you're guessing. You are guessing. Again, try to apply the rule. Here, do you know what you will get? Whether you will win or you will what? You will lose. Gambling, maisir. This is a principle by itself or it is included. Is gambling halal or haram?
Haram.
Why haram? Can't we play poker?
It's a guess game. Well, we just talked about it.
It involves skills. They consider it sport. I mean, they have tournaments for poker.
You put it on Discovery Channel.
Yeah. Why? It's haram? Why? It's nice. What will happen here, basically? You know, unfortunately, wallahi, I read some statistics, some reports about the poker, gambling in general. Do you know what is number one time consumer in the world? Number one time consumer in the world? Which means what people, 6 billion or 5, what occupies them most? Yes? TV? No. Gambling. gambling. That's number one. Number one, time consumer in the world. That's a fact. You know, there are people sit behind their computers 24 hours gambling continuous. Do you know people, they lost their houses because of gambling? They lost everything they have? It's tragic, but they don't tell you this. They show you that this one became millionaire, this one got... Now, they are, it's growing, and it's mushrooming. Now, they have like this tournament in Las Vegas, $10 million the first prize. How they get $10 million? How they get it? Yes, you have to pay money to get in. How much you pay? $10,000 to get in. And how many people? How many people? This year, I think 2,000 or more actually, 4,000. Can you multiply 4,000 times $10,000?
It's $40 million.
$40 million. What's the first prize?
$10 million.
Second prize, $5 million. Third prize, $2 million. And then they will give until 50. So they made 100% profit. But out of what? What did they do exactly?
They set people to play with each other.
Did they do any effort?
Well, they got the TV
involved. They got the TV involved, yeah. Now here is what happened. Here is the tragic part. How many people got in? 2,000 or 4,000?
4,000.
Out of those 4,000, how many people will cash? 5, 10, 50. What about the remaining 3,950 people?
They had fun for 2 days.
They had fun for 2 days, right?
That's what they said.
They lost $10,000. That's the tragic part of gambling. You are paying money for nothing. Whether you get nothing or you get everything. So is gambling halal or haram?
Gambling is haram.
What are the consequences of gambling? Allah mentioned that in the Quran. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. Satan is only intending to create animosity, hatred in your hearts through intoxications and gambling. And he intends to prevent you from remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what's happening. As I told you, number one consumer. I was surprised because unfortunately there are many Muslims doing this. I came to know that there are many Muslims gambling. It is horrible. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will tell us that on 2006, the people spent most of their time in gambling. Number one consumer in the world was gambling. That's how much they lost in gambling. And they hate each other. I will hate you. I paid $10,000. I got nothing and you got $5 million. Would I like that? The same thing, the lottery. Again, the same thing. Jackpot. They won $300 million. That was the biggest prize in the history of America, I believe. It happened like last year or the year before. One man, he purchased ticket for maybe $10 and he got how much? $300 million. How they got this money, $300 million? It came from all over America. Because believe me, they paid $300 million but they made other $300 million as well. And you may say, it's only $10. Yeah, it's only $10 from you, it's $10 from him, it's $10 from him. That money, if it was spent in development, in useful things, the world itself will be changed. But you are spending it on gambling. 2 million people got nothing and one man got $300 million. The same thing when they tell you, call. All what you need is to call. How much do you pay per minute?
Call for them.
Call them, just call them. When you call, how much per minute you spend when you call me?
I want to call you?
Yeah. 50 cents, that's the average, right? 50 cents, 10 cents. They tell you $5 per minute. That's all. Just call. Now they get $5 from you, $5 from him, $5 from her, and then how much they accumulate? Millions. And they pay. They tell you, you will enter the lottery and maybe you will win. That's what they do. Is this halal or haram? Why? Ya akhi, I want to spend $5. That's not your business. Islam tells you, no, it is the business of Islam. That will destroy the society. That will create hatred. So again, sometimes your satisfaction is irrelevant. You went to the market, HEB, Fiesta, any type of grocery store, supermarket. You purchased coffee, Nescafe or anything. They told you, we will give you with the Nescafe cup free. Is this permissible or prohibited? You will purchase coffee, Nescafe. You will get with the coffee gift. Is this halal or haram? Allowed. Well, it depends, not always. What do they do usually, or sometimes? How much is the pot of Nescafe? The can?
$3.
Now they made it $3.50. They charge you. So now, is it a gift or not? Did you intend to purchase the gift or you intended to purchase that merchandise only? So there is a deception. The same thing with car. Like you went to dealership and you wanted to purchase a car. They told you this is the price of the car. But if you pay $20 extra, you will enter a draw for sweepstake for the car, another car. Is this halal or haram? It is gambling. Because you may win another car, which is too much, or you may lose your $20. Is this halal or haram? Haram. But if you go and that's the price, and they gave you anyway, so again, you are getting something in return. You are getting something in return. Is this clear about gambling, the issue of gambling? Another issue related to it. Insurance. How about insurance? Is it halal or haram?
Tell us, Sheikh, I don't know.
Okay, tell me what happens. Insurance, what happens?
Any insurance.
Auto insurance, health insurance, what happens?
You pay your money. If you don't get an accident, you get nothing in return.
If you don't get an accident, you get nothing in return, right? So you better get an accident or...
No, most stuff. Of the insurance is for the other people, for the other cars, not only for you.
If you hit someone?
They will fix their car.
What if you don't hit someone? The money is gone. Yeah. Apply the rule. Here, in this transaction, the outcome was, or the option was, whether you gain or lose or not. Are you getting anyway anything, something, or it depends? You may get something or you may get nothing. Apply the rule that we took about deception. Exactly. It is the same thing. You are paying your money monthly, your premium every month. And after 2 years, every month you are paying $200. Every month. After 2 years, how much you paid? $5,000 approximately. After 2 years.
After 4,800.
Approximately $5,000. You did not have any accident. Everything was okay. What happened here? You lost your money. You got nothing, right? Or you paid the first month $200. The second month, you had a big accident. They paid you to fix your car. They paid you because you had injury. They paid the lawyer. They paid you $60,000. What happened here? You got lots of money. See? So whether you get nothing or you get everything. Is this halal or haram?
It is haram.
What about this one?
What about...
You don't pay insurance, but they pull you open and they
That's not what we're talking about. It is illegal without insurance, auto insurance. Now, this is a different case. But in principle, is it halal or haram? It is haram. It is a sort of gambling. It is a sort of gambling. The same thing with health insurance. Health insurance, what do? You pay the same thing, whether you get sick or you will not get anything. If you get sick, they will pay your bill, which may come to $50,000. Or you paid your money for nothing. You did not get anything in return. Is this halal or haram? It is haram. But the question now, when people ask, can we have insurance or not? The question is not, is it halal or haram? It is haram. But is there an urgency here? So we say, you better get insurance. In some cases, yes, actually, there is. Because you may get in trouble and you may pay all your savings, all your money, and you are not fixed. So that's a different issue. But in principle, it is haram. Look at Islam, what tells you? Islam tells you, if you want to pay something, you pay it optionally. So now it is a charity. Because you know your money will go only for the needy people. We say this is collective insurance. What do we mean by that? Whatever you want to pay, you will pay. This is a charity. Now, there is nothing forces you to pay. So you may pay 50 or you may pay 200. And at the end, who will get the money? The needy people only. Which is better? That's what Islam tells you. First, you will get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people, they will pay more. We want reward. Unfortunately, usually nowadays, people will never pay. Oh, we don't have to pay, we will not pay. Allah tells them to pay 2.5%, they don't pay. The IRS tells them to pay the tax, they pay 8%, 9%. But what the Muslim should be is he should pay more for charity. And then the money will not go to companies. They will stack money and money. And it will not go to the phony people who are faking the accident to get more money. It will only go to the people who are in need. See, that's what Islam tells you. Nowadays, our problem, we are thinking only of it is necessity, we have to do it. Why don't you come with the alternative? Islam did not forbid anything without producing the alternative. That's the alternative. The same thing with mortgage. Now we talked about mortgage, but we never talked about the alternative. Because unfortunately many Muslims, they are talking as or thinking as consumers. Why don't you think as provider? Why don't you establish your own housing company? But it needs some money, it needs capital. If 100 people came, each one paid $10,000. This is how much?
100 people, 10,000, 100,000.
1 million. 1 million. How many houses can you build for 1 million?
I divided at $50,000, that's 20 houses.
20 houses? Average, we're telling average. What if you sold these houses the first year? How much you will get?
Probably about 30%.
30%. Then you purchased another houses. And you gave, out of those 100 people, you gave 5 of them houses. You purchased other houses. Within 10 years, I guarantee you, all 100 people will get houses and they will make profit. Why don't we do it? Because we don't think as providers. As owners, we think only as consumers. That's what everybody is doing. You make money, you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have a house. But that's why I really don't believe it is a necessity. Everybody who's saying, no, wallahi, Allah will ask us. There are many people who have lots of money, mashallah. But we have ego, selfishness, we're thinking only about ourselves. That's it. That's what everybody is doing, I'll do it. There are many things dividing us. Otherwise, this problem should be eliminated. As I told you, give me $2 million and I will start, inshallah. Okay. Now, we have another issue in transactions, the right of option in sale. Actually, I prefer to stop here. I will stop here, inshallah, because I'm pretty sure maybe you have some questions. Go ahead.
Stocks.
Stocks, what about it?
Is it haram?
Stocks, in principle, what you are doing in stocks?
I'm buying shares in companies, not knowing if they're going to win or lose.
You are buying shares of companies. You don't know if it's going to win or lose.
Because I don't work for that company.
You don't work, right? But you owned it, right? You own part of the company. In principle, this is halal. In principle. As long as the company is not involved in haram transactions like pork company, beer company. Okay. If it's like selling laptops, these things, it doesn't involve riba, it should be halal. Why? You are purchasing part of this company. But what happens is this. You are not purchasing sharing or you are purchasing share of the company. You want to gamble with these stocks. Once it goes up, what you will do?
Sell.
You'll sell. What it go, well, once it goes down?
You'll sell.
You will buy. Right? That's why I believe if that's what you're doing, it should be haram.
If you study.
Because it's just like gambling.
But if you study that this company is going to do good for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And then you go buy $50,000 worth of stocks.
Yeah.
With the intention that you're selling in 6 months, when the company reaches
that's fine. Goal. That's fine because you can purchase something and you intend to sell it later. But here you are owning something. You own share of this company. What is happening on daily basis? They sell 3 times and they purchase again many times. That's why the price fluctuates like horribly every day. Like one day, Google, an example. Maybe 2 years ago, it was very cheap.
Now
it is approximately $350.
Yes.
Why? Once they announce there is a new service, the price goes up. So you are not really buying something. It's just estimates. So that's why, in principle, I say it is halal, but with this intention that you are really gambling with your stock, I cannot say it is halal.
A lot of companies prohibit daily sales.
Well, and that's a good thing. When they prohibit daily sale to eliminate this kind of games, then go for it.
It actually hurts the company itself more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
The selling by touching.
Selling by touching.
Give an example. You go to an apartment complex. They say, if you go and you look at this apartment, then you will get that deal for $700 a month. If we take you on a tour, you will get the $700 a month. But if you do not take the tour, then you won't get that rate. So as soon as you walk in the door, oh, very nice. Then you get that deal.
Again, when you go and get that deal, you go for a tour.
Yes.
Why they cut off like this amount of money? They want to prevent you from seeing other things? Or this is a plus thing, like you will purchase or you will have the rent anyway, but if you do this in extra, we will drop or we will give you extra discount, which you did not lose anyway. Apply the rule. Apply the rule. Did you get gain anyway and this was bonus, or now with this tour, maybe you will lose, you will not know what's happening, or you will gain, you will have this discount. Apply the rule. I believe it's simple. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned selling like lentils, wheat. When he came to a man, he was selling. The Prophet ﷺ put his hand and he found it is wet inside. He asked the owner, "What is this?" He said, "O Messenger of Allah, rain came and it made it wet." He said, "Show it to people. Whoever cheats is not of us." That's cheating. Why? Because you see and you think all the merchandise is like this. Many Muslims, unfortunately, they do that. On the top, you find the fruit, mashallah, big, tasty, it looks nice. But that's only the top. Whatever underneath is horrible. That's haram. That's deception. Yes, Fatima. If company gives stocks to you, you take it. As I told you, in principle, you take stocks, why not? Stocks in general, as I told you, in principle, stocks means money. Because it is as if you are paying to own this thing. So instead of owning physical thing, you own shares. Yes. Based on research, again, even this research, many times what you estimate does not happen in reality. And you end up losing. Why? Because your intention was not to own. Your intention was to gamble. This will go up. Maybe it doesn't go up. Like many people expected Google to add a new service. Once it will be added, the price will go up. Something wrong happened and they did not add this thing. You purchased on the intention that this will be added. So I believe here it involves intention. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us and the rules of Islam that you take precautions. Yes?
Brothers all together, they say, if you beat me in this race, then you have to treat me to dinner. Okay, I lose the race. I lose the race, now I have to pay for the dinner. If
you win?
If I win, I don't have to buy anyone dinner. He has to buy the dinner.
Okay, so it is lose or gain situation. So you cannot. But if they tell you, if you win, we will give you this. And if you lose, we will not give you anything. It is halal. Because here you have safety, which is not paying anything, or gain. But gain, lose situation. Because here, whether you will pay or they will pay. Right? Yeah. Bidding, it will be mentioned later. Yes. Yeah.
So you're thinking actually they're just charging a little bit higher than the pizza, but the free coke is really the charge, so it's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. Now they are charging you for pizza and coke. They tell you coke is free, but they charge you extra. So you got the coke. What is forbidden when the pizza is for $10 and the coke is for $2? So total is what?
12.
They tell you pizza for $14 and coke is free. What did they do? They charge you for pizza, for coke, and for extra.
Cheating.
That's cheating. But if you get the pizza and it's a little bit extra because of the coke, even if they said it's free here, again, apply the rule. Is it gain-lose situation or gain-gain-gain-nothing situation? That's the thing. So here it is permissible. Yes. Bidding is different. Bidding is different. And here, in that situation in particular, it was not bidding. Scholars said, did he bid? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The ayah says, the Roman Empire will overcome. They will win. Within many years. Do you bid on Allah what Allah says, or you are certain?
Certain.
It's not bidding. Do you doubt what Allah says? Do you doubt? Well, how? That's the question. How you get certainty? It depends. This is one answer. First, this was not bidding. The second thing, the Prophet ﷺ forbade it later on. Because remember, when did this happen? It happened in Mecca. Early, in the early stages. But in Medina, there were many things the Prophet ﷺ forbade. One of them is bidding. Bidding, it's different when there is a third party, when there are horses involved. Okay, that's it. Amna. Aina, yes. The concept? Okay, you need $200. But no one will give you cash. So you go and you purchase something for $200. and you agree with them that you don't pay them now, you don't have the money. You will pay them every month $10. Then you tell them, I want to resell it to you again. So you give them back and they give you $180 cash. So you left with what? With cash. But you owe them how much? 200. That's the ina. You purchase something and you resell it to the same person with later payment and you get the cash. Immediate. They want to make profit. Because that's the thing from the beginning. If you go to them and you tell them, I want $200, I'll pay you back $200. No one will do that. So they put something in the middle. Okay, go ahead. Interest coming to the bank. In general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى. Fear Allah and leave whatever is from riba. That means you don't take it. Once you take it, so you took riba. Whether you pay it for the masjids, for poor people, for anyone, you already took it. So you deserve the punishment. That's in principle. However, some scholars said, especially in our situation here, if you don't take the money, what will happen? It goes to charity. It goes to places where maybe Muslims are killed. It maybe goes to churches where they are printing Bible, preaching for Trinity. So in that situation, you take it, not because it is permissible, but it is the lesser evil. So I suggest here in the Western countries, take it and spend it on things like electricity, like inanimate objects. But in principle, you should not take it. From the beginning, tell them, I don't want interest. And you can. If you have a checking account, you will never get interest. Okay. We will stop here, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.